These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
Should I background it all a little bit?
No, we actually like that you have a green. We can superimpose, you know, Bethany's face.
Yeah, whatever. Skinny girl branding all day, all day, all day. Okay. Good morning, students. I'm Michelle Faber.
And I'm Lauren Davis.
And we have an extra special guest today. Our guest today has only ever seen the top of the call sheet, okay? This person is what we call in the industry a get. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Number one on the call sheet. You know him. You love him. I am talking about the one and only host of the Girls Rewatch podcast, our favorite creator on TikTok at the moment. He does all of Bethany Frankel's horrifying TikTok recaps. Please welcome Evan Lazarus.
Yay.
Brooklyn Zone.
I'm so excited to be here.
Oh my God, we're so excited to have you.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So just right off the top, how did you start following Bethany Frankel's horrifying
this is crazy TikTok? To me. You're not even crazy.
I almost feel bad that we're not starting with like your like actual like you have this very successful podcast. You're successful person, but because when I messaged you, you said you hadn't seen Roni, so you haven't really seen her. You haven't seen her on reality TV. You just know her from her fake fish allergy on TikTok.
I've seen like a little bit of Roni, but truly not enough to be like Violet or not Violet.
Green.
Yeah, I'm very green when it comes to Roni. Mm-hmm. I'm not lethal at all when it comes to that subject. But what I am lethal in is, of course, Bethany Frankel as a creator on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And I do think it truly just originated from having an FYP that knew me so well. Thank God for TikTok algorithm.
Boxes does she tick for you?
Right, good question.
Or talk.
Loud Jewish woman. She also is earnestly a very comical woman. And I appreciate her takes, and I think when people watch the videos, they think that I have like such a disparaging view on her, but ultimately I am kind of fangirl.
Yeah, you seem delighted. I was just telling Michelle, I was like, I think he does want to talk about her.
Yeah, I mean, because like, I feel like if it was just a bit for you, you'd be like, okay, like you wouldn't continue to do it.
Yeah.
And you know, you're really, and also like your recaps, you're really getting to the heart of Miss Bethany Frankel.
Yeah, you know, she is a very interesting figure in our culture. And just to give like a shout out to my podcast, Visit a Side Tangent, I'm very obsessed with like, there's certain people I kind of get like obsessed over. Typically it's women. And I just get like really engrossed in their lives. And I truly like to just understand all the nuances. So Lena Dunham with Girls and Girls Rewatch podcast. And then another one is Bethany Frankel. A million others. Mindy Kaling. Very much obsessed with Mindy Kaling.
Did you ever read her old blog? Okay. Things I Bought That I Love?
Send it over.
I'm going to send it over. She's, you know, also delightful.
Yeah. She's a delightful woman. And I think like Bethany, like Lena, like Mindy, they're all very creative forces.
Mm-hmm.
And I really know Bethany always gets kind of the kudos that she deserves when it comes to her creativity. But ultimately, creating a TikTok series at the end of the day in any capacity does a very high level of creativity. And I think because the social media is so casual, people have a hard time defining it almost like as art in itself. But what he's doing from my standpoint is like being so consistent about something like I am with Bethany, I feel, and like he's with chicken salad or caviar, like myriad of interest, like at some point it becomes a source of art, right? Like all human obsession that turns into like a product of sort, that to me is art for like a love obsession. And like any great artist, she's painting with every single brush she has.
Yeah, I never thought about it before because it's like we are big students of Bethany, but we're such a fan of her work on reality TV. She works so well on ensembles. She like can play people. She's a master manipulator.
She's a master. She's
so we've
a great
had a hard
producer.
Time coming around to the solo stuff, but we still really respect the way she's been able. She's like Madonna of reality TV. She's like, she's still around.
Much like Madonna, she has evolved with like what she's needed to evolve with. I first saw Bethany when she did The Apprentice when Martha Stewart right. hosted, which was like a one season crazy thing. Yeah, like it's insane. That's how I first saw Bethany Frankel. Also, isn't it crazy? Like the two people that have hosted The Apprentice, convicted felons. But yeah, that's how I first was introduced to Bethany Frankel. And she was like a lot like you see her on TikTok, a lot like you see her on Roni. Like she's been consistent with her personality. So it is not just like for the camera. Like this is how she really is. And it's so interesting to hear you, you know, talk about her. Like you're a fan and you see what she's doing as TikTok, social media, as art, yet she's blocked you. Like how does that? How do you equate those?
Like completely. If you ever like watch a video back of yourself or just like a voice note on your phone starts playing, it sometimes can be a really jarring experience. Just like have yourself kind of reflected back to yourself.
Right.
I think like any level, and I can be critical at times. I'm not uncritical of Bethany Frankel. I definitely call her where I see her. And if I think she's making a mistake, I will definitely point that out to her. And like any person, it's just like a reasonable response to not want to hear about one's mistakes. And especially for those mistakes to now be lifted up by like a community of people who mm-hmm. are invested in like hearing about them, that right. wouldn't feel good for anyone. So for her protecting her peace, I understand.
She is famously, though, like litigious about small content creators. We've been dying to get a cease and desist from her since that was kind of the goal of the podcast when we started it. We're not on her radar yet, maybe someday. So honestly, we consider it a huge honor that you've been blocked by her and we're kind of jealous.
Yeah, I mean, blocked by Bethany would be, I mean, that is...
You'll get there. I swear to God.
I'm hoping that because we've done like deep dives on Bethany. I mean, we like traced her like whole life, like from like when she like grew up in New York and like grew up in like the horse racing world and all of like we've been there with that mm-hmm. girl.
Her dad, who was the Bill Belichick of horse racing.
Yeah, of horse racing.
He was so good at manipulating women.
Yeah, the only way, only comparison. That's all I know about Bill Belichick. Though,
no,
anyway,
because
sports, yeah.
He's a football player. Coach.
He's a coach. He's a coach of the Patriots for like 16 years, and he brought them to 5 Super Bowls. I hate that I know this.
You know so much about pop culture.
I actually just did a pop culture TikTok show in Washington Square Park, and I got every single question wrong. It's Twitter memes, though. I know about like figures and celebrities. I don't know about like someone screaming at a specific Twitter.
I mostly only know the screaming parts of pop culture, so that's
exactly.
Yeah, different. So like you said, so you did that show and you got almost everything wrong. Like what like do you like about pop culture outside of, you know, the figure, like you're talking about Bethany, Lena, Mindy?
Pop culture. I think the thing about pop culture right now is we don't live really in a monoculture where like you can really point to like what everyone is kind of obsessing over at a certain moment or has knowledge about. So it's interesting for me to do that TikTok show in particular because I feel like I am like a student of a lot of pop culture, but when it comes to like niche internet memes, it's not something I usually participate in. But I truly enjoy are like people, figures, creative work. I mean, there's nothing to me that's more like more that I enjoy than like celebrity gossip, especially that's not even online, but kind of word of mouth. I love when someone's telling me about behind the scenes project. You know what
I mean? Or like Mary Kate's wedding where she had bowls of cigarettes. Do you know what I'm talking about? I think about that all of the time.
It's a chic.
Yeah. It's so chic. I mean, she's no longer married to this person, but I can't even remember his name. He was Sarkozy's brother.
Yes.
Yeah. Oliver. Olivier?
Olivier. Oliver. No, it's spelled Olivier.
But it's pronounced
he
Oliver.
Said that he wanted to be pronounced Oliver.
Right. So they have kids, right?
They don't.
Okay.
He has kids. They don't.
So they
don't have kids.
So we're, you know, like, again, big fans of Bethany's, like, TV shows. For me, it's sometimes a little bit hard for me to watch her TikTok. So I do have, like, a lot of questions about, like, it's common in the Bravoverse that people have a difficult time watching her because they're like, she's lost it, is, like, kind of the narrative, which I actually don't think is true. I think she's found a way to do, her art, which is, like, putting herself, her, like, you know, kind of intuitive eating slash restrictive eating, like her whole deal on like display, her, you know, shopping, like, except now she's found a way to do it through TikTok and like really gained a huge fandom through that. But I still, like, there are things I wonder about where I'm like, has she gone down the TikTok rabbit hole, do you think? Or do you think she's like engagement baiting?
Right. And yes, right. It's like, it's a little bit of everything. I think, again, she is kind of facing an epidemic of loneliness in a real way. Like, that's kind of the reason she moved to Miami. She's made it abundantly clear through her TikToks is that she didn't really like feel like she was fostering community in Connecticut. And I think when you're bored and you have a very active mind and you're a very intelligent person, you just often feel compelled to like create in this way or comment. TikTok is just a great tool for her to use to comment on everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's a very smart woman. It's like we see this all the time. Like, I grew up in a town with like a lot of stay-at-home moms and very intelligent women, but they didn't necessarily have their energy to put into a place. So to watch like, intelligent women, they're just innate gossipers. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's, which I love and appreciate, but it's like she's gossiping in her own way. It's just in a very public forum.
Right.
Yeah.
Where did you grow up? I'm just curious.
I grew up in Westchester. So Bethany Frankel's always been like very omnipresent and
Skinny
Girl's always been kind of like very much in the zeitgeist, for at least where I live.
Skinny Girl did? Really?
Yeah.
You really, that's so interesting. I think I've really only seen Skinny Girl margaritas like besides my television, like twice a year, like out in like the wild, maybe only a couple of times.
No, it was definitely more prominent in the area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. So she was a big deal in Westchester? Because she was always obsessed with Connecticut, I know. But I didn't know that.
Oh, mm-hmm. She lived in New York City at some point, but she lived in Long Island as well, right? And yeah, Long Island and Westchester.
And not the Hamptons part.
No. But they're very synergetic area. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Have you had a Skinny Girl margarita?
I actually had my first one this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I saw you pouring some out after you got
it.
I didn't want to throw away really good alcohol, so I kind of just added water and apple juice and I put it in a bottle and I saved the Skinny Girl in a different bottle because I don't believe in wasting.
Very
strong and delightful. I really did not mind it, especially like if you canned cocktails, I usually don't find to be so interesting or fun, and this really was not that bad.
I do have a question. So Bethany Frankel, the influencer, have you ever watched one of her TikToks and been like, I want this product. Like, I want to try.
Yeah.
I want to try L'Oreal's Midnight Cream.
Mm-hmm. No,
rich bitch cream.
I don't want anything on the internet. Honestly, it seems.
Oh my god, that's so healthy.
I'm feeling. I mean, it's like what I like already know what I like, and everyone's. It just feels like they're pushing their own agenda when it comes to products on there, and I just trust word of mouth. And I think as someone who like. I'm like, what is there to buy? From my perspective on the internet, the only things to buy are skincare and then like candy. There's not so many other like things.
Chicken salad. We're not buying that online.
Buy that, though. Like you have to go to a store. I'll go to restaurants recommendations from TikTok, but that earnestly is the only thing I'm truly ever influenced by.
Right. Oh God, that's so healthy.
Like, I love people reviewing consumerism more than I actually like participating in it.
I think that's like the ideal personality for a TikToker, right? Would be like, because otherwise it's like when you get a discount when you're working at retail and then all of your money goes into buying the clothes there.
All my money's
like
going to Forever 21. Yeah. I'm buying stock in them.
Do you think she makes a good, like, do you think she sells a lot? Or do you think it's most
I know
you?
That she. I know that she does. Because that midnight cream, because, okay, I will say this, Evan. Lauren doesn't really watch Bethany's.
It's tough for me.
It's tough for Lauren. But
I don't like the conspiracy.
The L'Oreal like cream or whatever. She was like, they flew her to Paris and she like walked like a fashion show for L'Oreal and stuff. She like made them so much money. It's crazy.
No, she really. I mean, even
she really does.
That she's not. They're not a really sponsored content. I'm certain some capacity she's making money off of that.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll see many things on her page. Probably a lot of influencers' pages that they. Even if they're not spawn con, there isn't a way that they are getting a kickback from. That's why I don't believe in this buy something policy of every,
all
these creators.
Yeah. So she, you know, she had like a failed talk show. She always wanted to have a reality show that was just her. And then she didn't really like being on Ensemble TV because she's like, well, I'm kind of better than everyone. Do you think this is like an outlet for her where she feels fulfilled? Or do you think she's still like, this is just TikTok and I don't feel like it's really worthy of my stature, you know? Yeah, or do you think she's happy?
I feel like TikTok and you guys probably utilize it in some more. But at some point, TikTok just becomes your own independent like TV show sort.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like chronicling her life through TikTok. And it is like her own reality TV show. It's whatever she wants it to be. Mm-hmm. And very evident.
It's like public access TV. You might be too young to remember that, Evan. No, I know remember public access TV. Yeah.
Very
like
much.
The Chris Gethard show, but it's Bethany Frank.
Yeah.
It's beautiful to watch. And I feel like she's always wanted like a high level of creative control in the projects she's doing. Yes. And she's been so production oriented, right? And I think the appeal of like Housewives or having a talk show where they're not like super highly, they're produced, but they're not highly produced, highly edited concepts or they're quick turnover. And there's nothing quicker than TikTok.
So yeah.
Like she's not concerned about being a beautiful
perfect
actress.
Yeah.
She has to look amazing. She goes on camera and like looking distressed.
Yeah.
I mean, she's still gorgeous, but she looks distressed, like no makeup, and she's giving to you raw. And it's an authentic thing. And I think the thing she likes the most, like so many people, is just like attention. And the best way to for attention directly is TikTok. Right.
Because really, like how many of the Housewives after, like she's been off of the Housewives for a long time now. Like there's not a single one that anybody talks about more than Bethany. And I think it is a big part of because of her social media. Like people like you who haven't really watched her on reality TV and haven't seen her yelling at people like, you're a sicko. You're a sicko for cabaret.
Yeah.
One of my favorite moments.
Well, she's by far the famous, I think, housewife.
Yeah. But you've seen her like when she's like going to the Hamptons and she's trying to get noticed at a store where she feels like she's moved millions of dollars worth of chicken salad and no one's telling her thank you. And she's talking about that. And I remember that TikTok that she did that.
It's just amazing. She's like reaching a whole new audience of people.
Like a younger generation.
Of people commenting mean things on our videos about her. That's really special to us.
Yeah.
We're getting mean comments or nice comments?
I think I said something about her skinny girl ham and people.
Well, I mean, people commenting on your videos. Are people saying nice or mean things?
Generally, the Bravo people, they're like nice things. And then the TikTok Bethany fans are like, How dare you? She's just trying to live her life. Yeah. How dare you come after her ham?
She's a single mother just trying to make it. And I'm like, okay, like she's made it.
But we're not, you know, we are obviously huge fans of her.
Huge
as well.
Fans of Bethany. I don't think like I feel strongly about this. This I'll tell you this for free. I feel like she completely changed reality TV. Like, and she did it multiple times. Like, she did it when she was on The Apprentice. She was a person. Like, Martha Stewart to this day still dislikes Bethany because of how, like, undeniable she was on The Apprentice, which was, like, a million years ago, you know?
Yeah, Martha Stewart's jealous
Martha,
of Bethany.
And you know what? Bethany has said that about Martha Stewart. She's talked a lot about Martha Stewart, but and then like she did it when she was on Roni. She did it when she had her own show on Bravo. Which
no,
was,
really, like she
really kind of, the darkest.
She kind
show.
Of invented influencing. Like she is the queen of SpotCon.
Well, she did with Skinny Girl.
Skinny Girl. That she was just really a licensing deal, really.
But she talked about it on the show. She's like, oh, this is my thing, the Skinny Girl margarita. And she was like, told the waiter, like, I want tequila with this, this, and this. It's Skinny Girl's margarita. And then, boom, like, she had the product idea. I mean, the idea.
Well, after she sold it, she's just promoting it to, like, get her back in sales, you know? And that's why – that's kind of, like, now how you make a living as a reality star is following her.
She's not tasting all that ham, and she shouldn't have to.
No.
Skinny girls don't eat all that ham.
It's just the regular Smithfield ham, but they slice it skinnier.
They slice it skinnier. Yeah, it's got the Skinny Girl slant, you know? Yeah. The Skinny Girl slant.
You brought up an interesting point about Martha Stewart, if you mind.
Of course.
I do think it's a very interesting point you make about Martha Stewart being jealous of Bethany. I have thought about this, and I recently watched the Martha Stewart documentary, so
yeah,
like a little bit more understanding about her story. I think the one thing that Bethany really lacks compared to a Martha Stewart type is that Bethany is just as smart as all these women, if not smarter. She's more charismatic. And she's actually a more interesting persona, I think, than Martha Stewart.
Like, yeah, I agree. Yeah.
She's only funny and because of the contrast of Snoop Dogg and her. Think about Bethany Stewart. She's not that strategic of a person. She's always been very reactionary.
Very, yes.
I mean, I'm similar too. I'm not super strategic. I'm actually very reactionary.
Yeah.
So that's also a thing that I really like about her is like watching someone kind of akin to myself.
I'm going to challenge you on that though. I do think she's very impulsive, but I do think she is. I think she's a very good self-producer.
She's a strategic reactionary.
And I think she's very good at leveraging her relationships and turning that into her art as well.
Right.
Like I'm on her side on a lot of these fights, but it's just because you need to know going into a relationship, she's going to make that a show. She's going to show every fight you have. She's going to say everything you ever said to her and everything she's ever said about you. And it's going to be in the news and on TV.
She's never going to forget a single thing ever. She's going to remember like 20 years later what Martha Stewart said to her on a boat in St. Barts when Bethany told her, I'm at your level now. That's where she started the whole, it's at the level. I'm at the level. Like she felt like she had finally matched Martha Stewart in terms of like fame and success. Right. And she's always kind of wanted to be Martha Stewart, which is crazy. No, but Martha was also known as like, you're a bitch, you're ruthless, you're all these different things in business. But she had the like more like, it's a good thing. And like everyone was like, but she's classy. She's in Connecticut. She kind of keeps her mouth shut unless like we don't see it the way that she doesn't put it out there the way that Bethany does.
I do also.
But that's what makes Bethany Bethany.
Right. I do think Bethany is more impulsive now. I think that is also something that the Bravo fans kind of react to. They're like, whoa.
Yeah. I mean, she just is an impulsive person.
But she's always like been emotionally driven.
She's very, yeah. Yes.
Well, TikTok is all about reaction to, as a platform to, like Martha Stewart never had a kind of succumb herself or put herself on social media in the same way. Everything's been very high produced for her.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
More of a theme behind her and her actions where Bethany so can act in like solo.
But see, this is my thing with Bethany where I'm like, part of me is still, I think this is why I can't do this because it's like, I just can't wrap my head around it. You know, that's why I'm like really trying to dig into it with you because I'm like, part of me thinks it is kind of curated in its randomness and it does seem like kind of very carefully, like even like hearing you describe them, she's like, but oh my gosh, this is what people are like
into
now. But I
guess it's also just because like we watched Bethany for years on reality TV. So we see her kind of through a different lens.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking when we were talking about Martha Stewart, I realized how much I know about Martha Stewart because like what you do with Bethany, like where you recap like her TikToks. So Martha Stewart's daughter, I don't know how many people know this. She had a very short-lived TV show, a talk show with her best friend whose father was the producer of Martha Stewart's like her talk show. Anyway, she had a TV show called like Martha. It was either like, oh, Martha or really Martha. And it was just recapping her mom's show, but making fun of it. And that was, her name is Alexis Stewart.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, I was like, you're kind of, but you're not really making fun of it, but it's kind of this like, it's like an interesting sort of recap of like the silly things that you notice when watching her. So you're kind of like Martha Stewart's daughter in a way. Which I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but I'm like the only person who religiously watched that show with Alexis Stewart talking about her very successful mother who probably produced the show. I remembered that was like a pop culture memory for me.
Oh my gosh.
We'll do it now. We can get Brynn doing Bethany recaps.
Oh my God, can you imagine? I am curious about her move to Miami because I know Brynn is still not 18. So I don't, the whole custody thing is very interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. And ultimately,
they had a very contentious, long divorce.
I don't know how that earnestly works at all. But so they haven't necessarily finished. It's interesting that she talks so much about custody. In a way she does on TikTok when there is kind of still the custody battle going on. Because I know that people are against her.
She does it in a way that she knows that she's not going to get in trouble legally.
Yeah.
Although, but she does delete, like I didn't even realize because I don't spend as much time on her TikTok. Because of you, I realized like how many TikToks she's deleting. She's deleting a lot of content. So she's putting out like, that's the thing. Like she's putting out so much content all the time. But she's also deleting so much content.
How does that not destroy her algorithm? Is it just because she's Bethany Frankel and incredibly famous?
Yeah, I bet she's archiving, and I think archiving doesn't affect your videos as much as deleting them does. Mm-hmm. And well, part of the video she does delete, I think she is because she's, and this is why I don't think she's always super strategic with
them.
It's because some of them, honestly, she deletes them, but they could have gotten her in trouble. I remember there's this whole part of the reason, and it's not really talked about. I think part of the reason that she went to Miami so quickly too, and there was like not a real conversation about it, because a week prior, Brynn had went into New York City and she had to send her Albanian, that's her words, not mine, to go literally retrieve Brynn from New York City. And she posted three videos back to back, kind of having like a breakdown about Brynn like breaking the trust with everything. And I honestly only saw one of them, but there were three videos. And she had like this big breakdown that if I was a judge and I had seen the video, might make me a little nervous, because just the way she like handled it, like went so public with it. She did take it down, like self-corrected a bit. And I think the thing about TikTok, which is weird about the internet, and it's like more specific to TikTok than anything, that's like they say the internet is forever, but for the most part, like you can kind of erase yourself a little bit on TikTok in a fairly okay way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially the video's not up for long, like you can get rid of that fingerprint.
Yeah, right. No one's screen recording every single one of her videos. No, it's like you're writing down a note about it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy though. Yeah.
That's crazy. What is the obsession with Albanians? What do you think is behind that?
I think she had one Albanian come into her life that was really meaningful to her and then more followed.
Okay.
And I don't think it's like nice of her to be identifying people based off their ethnicity,
even if it's,
but because the only time she ever acknowledges Albanians are always like service workers for the most part. I'm like, I don't like that it's like her employees, she's calling them race. It's just like it's in Connecticut and a mansion girl. It's just like it's a little hard to watch a plantain mansion.
Yeah.
Wait, was there a WeWork in that mansion?
Oh, it's just huge. She called it a WeWork, so I called it a WeWork, but there's a giant workspace that she called a WeWork inside of there.
Does she work?
I'm like, I have no idea how many emails she's sending a day. Right. I'm like,
this is her job.
Is she looking at real, like, is she looking at spreadsheets, like, really? Like, do you think she's, like, you know, doing, like, formulas all day? And
Michelle, you know, she doesn't know how to do a pivot table.
I honestly, like,
I could be crazy.
I really could be so crazy, but she has like a large team of three girls at her house that works for, and she just recently launched a website. I don't know. She's making the pivot tables, but she's looking at pivot tables.
She's looking at them.
And she's like, I need this over here. She's definitely yelling stuff while the spreadsheet's out, you know?
Because of the, you made a great point earlier, that she was kind of the creator of, like, not of celebrity brands in general, but, like, real, being a real housewife and having a celebrity brand. I think because of that, she's always had to, like, really be in the weeds with a lot of things. So, like, creating Skinny Girl, I think actually that really much was her before. Now it's being licensed a name, and she only owns, I think, she owns a name, but she doesn't own, like, the liquor part of the company anymore. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting too, though, that she's like that? That to me is what's where I'm like, wow, she really impresses me that she makes it work, where it's like, you could not be more attached to a relic of the past, that the one thing you own is the name Skinny Girl.
And this
body positivity, like but she still makes it work somehow, the way she still finds a young audience. It's crazy to me.
Like the logo is like her outline, like with the ponytail. And it's so funny because like on Housewives, like she would have like her car said Skinny Girl on the side of it. They went on a ski trip and her snowboard said Skinny Girl on it. And she made sure when they were like all fighting, she was like holding up the snowboard, like protecting herself. But you just saw the Skinny Girl brand on the snowboard.
Yeah, because essentially that's like she sold it. She sold it. Jim Beam Suntory. She sold it like 2 years after she started it. She just got in at the right time. And like also she realized I have this great personality. Yeah. This is going to be huge. And then licensing has really been her job.
And you know what, that's like I wouldn't
and she's
know how
so
to do
fucking
that.
Good at it. It's like she's basically being like, look at me being myself with this behind me, and it's like
but she's lonely, she's got a she's got that other part to her where she's like talking about having to move to Florida because she's so lonely and she doesn't have a support system.
What
she
happened with her ex-boyfriend? Do you know?
Paul?
Yeah, what's the deal? We know a little bit about his family, but we were so curious about that.
It's not about her love life.
Yeah.
I think they just, I don't know. I mean, I almost caught myself being like, I'm sure that she's a lot, but how do we know that he wasn't a lot, you know?
But well, in the TikToks, he always looked a little, right. You know.
But he was kind of like, I don't know. He did a lot of stuff in the back end. Like, he was the reason she reunited with Jill.
I just never trust men.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I don't trust men who, like, I know Paul never really worked. Like, he's a big trust fund baby. Yeah. And he was, like, married to a socialite in Massachusetts. God, I know too much. No, but, yeah, like, in Boston. Like, he's from Boston.
Oh, I know a sports thing about him is that that coach who got busted in the hand job parlor was with
the
Paul's
owner of
dad,
the Patriots.
The owner of the Patriots. Bill Belichick?
No, he didn't own the Patriots.
He's the
Robert
coach.
Kraft.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Guys, I'm learning. Sorry.
Robert Kraft got a hand job with Paul Brennan.
Yes.
Yeah.
With Paul Brennan's daddy.
His dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. All this to say, silver spoon in his mouth and a warm hand.
You know what? Guess what? I'll only eat out of the silver spoon if there's chicken salad approved by Bethany. And that's all I'm saying. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Okay.
So in terms of the people who watch her video, like, do you look at comments at all, or are you just kind of like in and out?
I am very intrigued by, I look at my comments, and sometimes I don't look at her comments so much, but what I've discerned from our audience, it's like, it's a very wealthy, usually white woman demographic. And I think it really skews on age.
Mm-hmm.
I think she actually gets a larger demographic of widespread demographic of age than we think. And I think that's part of the reason, like, you look at Skinny Girl and Housewives really isn't as TV goes, really that highly consumed. Like, a lot of the programs now only have like a million weekly watch.
Right.
I think didn't even pass the million on it.
Which is so sad because it's the best of the franchise.
It's, I mean, my favorite, absolutely. So. But the problem is, there's not a problem, but like, because it's so many wealthy people watching these programs, I think that's part of the reason. And they're like big cultural consumer. Like, anyone that watches Housewives, like, also inherently just like engaged in culture, period.
Yeah, right.
They go very hand in hand. And I think that's just like the reason that these shows, even with like low viewership relative, been able to persist for so long. I mean, it's hard to know with like streaming how many people.
Well, because and the fandom, you know, like, all we will still talk about, like, you know, Real Housewives of Orange County with Vicki Gunvalson's boyfriend faking cancer. And that was like 15 years ago.
Yeah. It's a touchstone.
It's a touchstone. You mentioned Salt Lake. So you do watch some
Salt Lake City fan. I think my problem is that I got into Housewives a little late, and I really, when it comes to like conversations with like TV shows, like, the reason I'm an avid watcher of Salt Lake is because it came out in a place that I was like really cognizant of Real Housewives. So I like have really enthralled, like, really been enthralled with the show because I like the conversation also goes along with it. Like, I really often, unless it's like a much older show, I don't often like to watch reality TV after the time has passed because the fun comes for me with like the conversation of this. And of course, people are avid rewatchers of these shows, and that never goes away. Like, people are always talking about them, but I like it like when it's at the peak, especially because I'm kind of Bethany coded a little bit, where like I would like to have an opinion on something too. Like, I don't even care about RuPaul's Drag Race that much. I watch every single episode this season because
how do you like this new version of All Stars?
I haven't. Okay. I'm at like.
Liar!
I watch regular RuPaul.
The flagship. Yeah.
Okay. Right. I watch the flagship, but I mean, I could do another podcast on how disappointed I am in those girls.
Ooh. Season 17.
So disappointed.
Dude, I was bummed out. Like, I kind of got on board by the end. Of course, I was like, okay, it's just going to be something different where it's like, they're RuPaul's School for Girls more, but I'm like, it's just such a bummer because there's so many great drag queens who have been doing drag 20, 30 years. You know, it's like, put them on there.
I can't watch any like competition. I can't watch any like competitive reality TV show unless it's like women competing for a man. And then I'm all in, baby. Yes. Network TV. Compete for that man. Okay, so you said that you watched Salt Lake. So have you been watching it from the beginning? So you know, like, Jen Shah.
Yeah,
you followed that whole thing.
I'm gonna watch Rhode Island the moment it hits.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. I wonder if like Paul Bernan's family is going to pop in. Okay. Like, do you think it's so crazy that Jen Shah and Elizabeth Holmes are like best friends in prison?
Not in
the do you think about it all the time? Like what do they talk about?
My whole life. I saw that. I go, that makes perfect sense. Let's move on.
Yeah.
I think the funny part is that actually Jen Shah is the one coaching Elizabeth Holmes. Elizabeth Holmes, in essence, is Jen Shah's bitch. And that is not what I saw coming.
No, but it is, because if you think, like, Jen Shah has big, like, stage mom energy. Do you know what I mean? Like, she will mold these girls into what they need.
Well, she was teaching them, like, playwriting in jail. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they were reading Tennessee Williams.
Like, wait, she's a playwright? Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Shaw amazing, even.
Shaw amazing.
She's awesome, of course.
Yeah.
And she's a psychopath.
Yeah, I don't want her to come back. Hot take, but.
No, literally. I like Elizabeth Holmes, and I don't think, not to compare apples to oranges, but Elizabeth Holmes, I think she did something really awful, but it's because she got like really got enthralled because of men. Like men, in a way, I watch her, she's evil.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, she's, in my mind, a lot more forgivable because she was so, like, as a woman told no.
And she was very young.
Yeah.
But she was also had, like, all those war criminals, like Henry Kissinger, wrapped around her little finger, you know?
Yeah.
It was
I always inherently like women. Like, it's rare for me to find a woman I don't, like, connect with.
Yeah.
Man, I can hate, but a woman, it's like.
But, like, Kissinger, you're like, it's over for you. You're done. Yeah. You're dead.
Jen Shah, though, I didn't really like her that much because she was so mean to them.
She
was scary.
She did punch her best friend in the face and, like, was in prison for a long time before Heather even said, like, okay, yeah, it was Jen that, like, gave me the black eye.
Yeah, and why did they put up – is it because they thought she was good for ratings? Is that why they put up with her shit for so long?
They're scared of her, too, right?
Like, just genuinely scared.
Her master manipulator of the show, like, all – there was never a scene that she was in. She wasn't like the center of focus. She always like took the stage. And these women are very commanding forces, all of them in their own way. And I think that's one of the best parts of Salt Lake as a franchise. And compared to the New York, I watched a lot. Like, they're so all unforgettable. But Salt Lake, they're all uniquely interesting, honestly.
They are, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Jen Shah, she's like really a bully, and she is able to spin lies in a way I've never, ever seen
before. No, she's crazy.
The way she was saying that Stuart, the guy who she made like hold her purse and like, you know, carry her piggyback and all this stuff, that she's like, he's the mastermind.
It was like Jen Shah's first assistant, her fourth assistant. Like, it was crazy how many, like, you know, people she had working for. As much as she is crazy, like, I don't condone anything she's ever done, I will always appreciate the fact that she left the Sprinter van before like Homeland Security and the FBI
and her box spreads.
Like, like in front of Beauty Lab and Laser, like those are hallowed grounds to me. Like,
yeah.
Like the Homeland Security looking for a fugitive, and it's like, you know, Lisa Barlow being like, oh my God,
she was iconic. Evan, what did you think of Monica?
Good question. Monica, I mean, she was nice having a show, and the only reason that season was actually interesting, because it really had a gap after her, was because of Monica. Was she actually like a good housewife? No. And like, I don't mean this in a mean way at all. And it's actually one of my critiques I have with Rhode Island, is that they're all, she's like, and I don't mean this in a way that I'm like, I'm disparaging this. I only mean it in a way for a housewife. She was kind of like poor, and like Real Housewives, what I want to see is like people, even if they're not super wealthy themselves, can like mortgage something the hell out of it and then spend that money. She had nothing to even leverage.
I want out of touch.
Right. I want out of touch for my housewives.
Or like Drag Race. Like, yeah, we want you to take out a second mortgage for your package so you can give us some drag.
I do want out of touch. I don't want to watch somebody on these type of shows who's like a man of the people.
Oh, I didn't mind the TLC of Monica. I kind of LD Millionaire and like them fighting over that Range Rover.
That was...
But I know a lot of people feel the same as you, where it's like, you know, you need to be going either like rich or going.
It's like, I can have a normal conversation with Monica and she could be one of my friends in my daily life. Like, these women I want to never want to actually be friends with in real life.
Right. Like, and you wouldn't be worried, like, she's going to fuck my brother-in-law.
What?
She can fuck my brother-in-law. Okay.
Cool. See, that's where I'm doing. Give me any borderline woman on TV and I'm in, baby.
And I might be eating my words after you did.
Me love a cluster B personality.
But she would not be good in the next season. Like, I know some fans wanted her back for another season.
We might have started a petition.
We might have started that petition. But then the next season happened, and I was like, you know what? They did okay with that.
They did great.
They did really great. Like, you know, sometimes, like Kay, like Rose from that, you know.
Totally.
She's she's center when she got, and I was like, okay, we're making Angie K center snowflake, and then she blew me away. Like, she getting kicked out of Meredith's bat mitzvah was the most iconic thing. I couldn't, like, the bat mitzvah, Meredith's bat mitzvah in every way was like some of the best television I've ever seen in my whole life. Like Mary peeking through, like, I was just waiting for like dun 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 dun.
It's so funny that we can just pantomime parts of it, like cutting the ham, under the scroll.
And then my favorite part, Evan, I don't know if you remember this, but okay, like her like buffet post bat mitzvah at the ski lodge, there was like spiral sliced ham, and they were like carving, they had a carving station where they were cutting ham. There was ham, and I was like dying, because I was like, I grew up Jewish, I had a bat mitzvah, and I was like, they're carving, it's not just like a, you know, like a, like they were carving, they had a carving station with ham, and I was just like, this is real art.
Honestly, that season started off in such a strong note at that dinner.
Was
that
the Bezos dinner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was thinking of, I was like, were we talking about the
dinners, of course.
No, the lunch, Mary's lunch with Meredith with the bang.
Oh, yeah, the Audrey Hepburn lunch.
Breakfast
at Tiffany's. That's so funny.
Mary's done, okay, I know she's like a controversial figure, but she's done really iconic lunches on that show. The Met Gala lunch was so good.
Well, Mary, I think even though she's so cruel, I think you can tell that she like has a personality disorder. So
yes.
Almost anything she says, like, it's so evident. Like, even if these other women have it, it's like, it's really not as like clear, and they like are stake something in like sanity. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so apparent with Mary, like how unstable she is.
Talking to her mannequins.
Right, exactly. Like, everything comes out of her mouth. It's like, it has to be excused because she's wearing fingerless gloves, you know?
Yeah. But I will say, like, the you smell like hospital is such an iconic line. Yeah. And it really set the tone for what this series was going to be like.
Mary Cosby, she's kind of like, I feel like she's like the last person standing in terms of like, there is kind of a line even for reality TV people now you can't cross.
You know what it also is? She's only like real, Angie K's Greek, but she's only real person of color on the show. Angie K's
I think that's part of it. Yeah, is that they're like, she's got to deal with all these crazy white Mormons. Yeah, she can say something
is married to like her kind of grandpa, and her grandmother wanted it that way. So like, she's never had like a fair shake.
Groomed. She's the only person of color in all Salt Lake City. It's like, yeah, okay, the girl can run her mouth and say whatever the hell. Yeah.
Although there's a large Indian population.
Oh, there is.
My friend Paula She used to live there. She's telling us about it.
She got cut from every scene this season, but I think she was supposed to be a front.
I literally didn't even clock her. She was so like, I don't know.
She was like just like a beautiful ghost in the background.
Yeah, yes, she's a beautiful ghost.
Yes, Bob.
Yes, the Bob. Yes, see. Yeah, you got it from that.
Right? Yeah, see, we remember.
We went on vacation with them at some
point. Okay. So who's the
Did she?
With the Bobblehead Museum.
Yeah. She was in the Bobblehead.
Oh my God, that was the funniest. Like, they went to Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, that's it.
The fact that they did like a girls' trip to Milwaukee.
After Vail, it's just so funny.
It's so, you know what? That's so cunt. Like, I was like, this is camp. This is high art. Like, this is so camp. They're in Milwaukee. They're going to, like, they're drinking Miller High Lifes. And Mary's like, it's a champagne of beers.
It sucks. Oh, I mean, it is. But I will tell you guys my Salt Lake City theory. And I actually would love your guys' opinions on this. So I put this online. It actually went, like, fairly viral. But I, like, always want more conversation around it. So I actually studied environmental science in college too. So it's very interesting for me to track Salt Lake as an actual city and the TV show of Salt Lake City. Because in 2020, the water levels were the highest salt the lake had seen in like the last decade. Oh. But they subsequently faced a drought from the end of 2020 to 2023 or 2024. And I think the levels are going back up now. The thing about Salt Lake is that it's actually, it's like not fresh water. Obviously, it's Salt Lake. Mm-hmm. A lot of heavy metals in the lake, And one thing they've always been concerned about is as the lake evaporates, these heavy like lead, arsenic are at the bottom of the lake and they are escaping because it's a high wind region as well. One of the big fears about drought in Salt Lake in general is that if they do face a drought, it's not even just like they'll lose the lake. It's they'll actually, everyone in the city will get absurdly sick from the pollutants from the bottom of the lake. So I've tracked that like as a sea level, as the water decreases in the Salt Lake and releases more heavy metals that have been attached to anxiety, depression, psychosis, and like hysteria, you watch the show actually get more absurd. So I think these women are actually being poisoned by
God. It's not Jen Shaw's fault.
No.
Okay. If that is not the plot of the Jennifer Lawrence like mystery drama that's based on Housewives, I'm going to be pissed because that is good.
That is gold. Yeah, no, I mean, it's just like Jen Shaw's just been breathing in arsenic.
Literally, she's been breathing in, so she's literally had a breath, like steal from old people. It's on her.
Yeah, and Elizabeth Holmes is going to create something that's going to fix her right up, and Walgreens is going to buy it.
Her husband is creating blood testing company guy.
Yeah.
Dude, and her husband's already wicked rich. He's basically Paul Berman. It's like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah. Yeah.
They never learn.
They never learn.
iFast got canceled twice.
Yeah.
AirFast or whatever the hell it's called. Yeah.
Well, we wish them the best of luck. Okay, we have to talk about one more iconic woman, and which also is your show, your podcast, the Girls Rewatch podcast. So how long have you been doing this podcast? Like, it's very successful. Like, let's just say that you're a very successful podcaster. How did you get into that originally, and how did you decide this is what you wanted the show to be?
Right. I mean, I've always had an infatuation with like Brooklyn as a concept. I grew up in Manhattan for a little bit, but like had no experience with Brooklyn growing up. It just like was a far off land for me. Mm-hmm. Then I watched Girls in college for the first time. And then I also was working in Brooklyn at a chocolate factory.
Oh my God.
At that park, which like doesn't feel like Brooklyn at all. Because it's just like one warehouse in the middle of nowhere. But I remember like walking to Dumbo from Sunset Park and just like trying to experience Brooklyn as much as I could.
It's so idyllic. You worked at a Brooklyn chocolate factory.
Yeah, it's like crazy.
I commute 2 hours from my family's home every day to work.
Oh, wow.
2 hours each way. So 4.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
But I really loved it always. And mm-hmm. I really connected with the show Girls too, because I feel like it's one of the most genuine forms of media I've seen. And I always compare it to watching reality TV in a way, because I feel like it's like written from Lena Dunham, who's writing it as she's almost living it in a sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The earlier seasons are like very biographical of like her living in Brooklyn, and it's then peppered out through the rest of the show as well. I mean, so many of the stories you can like link back to her memoir that are like in the TV show as well. So it's a very, very personal story. And I think people probably feel this way from watching shows like, what's Issa Rae's show called? Yeah, right?
No.
Insecure.
Insecure.
Yeah,
Insecure.
It was a personal TV show. And I think mm-hmm. the same reason I like reality TV is the reason I like Girls, because there's so many interpersonal relationships to analyze. So many real life examples of people messing up, which I think TV, when people mess up, it's like, oh no, now there's a million zombies left in Detroit. Or it's like, okay, I guess I can't really put myself in the shoes, but I can put mm-hmm. myself in the shoes of a 25-year-old in Brooklyn who keeps getting like loosely fired from jobs.
Yeah.
Right. Like, do you think that she's just gotten such a bad rap, and it's not, you know, it's not really how you see her as an artist or a person? I mean, you know more about her than Lauren and I, for sure.
I think it's a case where it's like those without sin should throw like the first rock, or whatever the expression goes.
Yeah.
Where it's like, ultimately there's, I don't think there's plenty of things, but there are a few things that I definitely would discount Lena Dunham for. But as an actual artist, creative, and like someone who just like was truly just making a TV show that felt like fairly typical of her life, which was the assignment of HBO for to have her do, I don't think she's really at any fault of that. Like, she wrote a uniquely interesting story that I think was a bit ahead of its time.
Oh, I think it's so influential. Oh my God.
Let's just say it. Her having like anal sex in the premiere or something. Like, I was like, this is.
That's what I mean by influential. It inspired me to have anal sex.
It inspired me. And I was like, oh my God, I hate that. Get out of there, mister.
No, yeah, it changed TV yeah, so much.
Yeah, maybe I'd be better at anal if I lived in Brooklyn. But
okay.
I'm
at Lauren Cantaglio.
Yeah. No, it didn't help me.
It's a Brooklyn thing, baby.
Oh, sorry. Keep going.
No, I do think very highly of her. And mm-hmm. I do think part of the reason, and it's like, if Trump had been in office, I think everything that Lena Dunham got canceled for would make so much sense.
Yeah. Or like,
as the show came out. But Trump and the Jersey Girl, at least filming wise, they never overlap.
Mm.
So, and I think there's always like this level of like underlying contentment for like a loud, she's not queer, but like queer adjacent woman who's like body positive.
Yeah.
They're all like casualties of, I mean, she's white also, that has to be counted, but like a lot of the other discerning things about her are like true casualties of America.
Mm-hmm.
Skinny Girl, I don't know if Skinny Girl itself really is having a resurgence, but like skinny as a topic in general is having a major resurgence.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, because everyone has access. Well, not everyone has access. Being thin is accessible now, especially with like the GLP-1s. And, you know, if you can procure those, I feel like it's like everyone wants to be skinny again. Right.
I think we feel like we have no control. And I think like so much, and my theory is, and I don't know if it's correct or not, but so many of eating disorders are based in control. And
oh, honey. Yeah. Preaching to the choir there.
Literally, the choir. Yeah. We're all, it's cool to be three in a choir, but it's like, it's all about control, right?
Yeah.
Or like a lot of it is.
Yeah.
And I think as we become in a more and more anxious time, people really are fixating on their bodies at every income level. Because
and we can see ourselves all of the time
so
too. Like it's like I can see myself, like even if it's like I work from home, it's like I see myself on a Zoom. Like if I post something on TikTok or on my Instagram, you know, if it's something that I didn't post and somebody else posted, I've lost control of what I'm looking at, like what I look like when someone else is taking, you know, it is all about that.
And it's that feeling of impotence, you know, where it's like there's so much, and it's like I can't deal with the feelings and I can't change any of it, but I do see myself and I can that's
and to bring it all the way back to Miss Frank. I think her, you know, it's like I got Lauren. Sometimes
when I get
anxious, I take medication that is prescribed, but then I black out and I send her like kind of horrific books. So I got her Naturally Thin.
Oh my God, send it to me next.
Honestly, it's pretty good. It's just what if intuitive eating where you don't diet is a diet?
Well, it's kind of Bethany's idea. Like her whole thing, like part of it is like, it is straight up like chew and spit. Like she would be like, her whole philosophy was like, taste everything, eat nothing, which is literally like,
It's not that like, it is intuitive eating. She just ripped off intuitive eating, which was getting popular around 2009. Or, you know, but her thing is like, but do it so you get skinny. Yeah.
Like never finish everything on your plate. Like, you know, I was like, oh, you're just like my Jewish mother. Like, you don't have to eat everything on your plate, but like, you know, also do eat everything on your plate.
Yeah.
Like,
her thing, Bethany's thing is letting go is the letting go of control is really how you can control everything. That's like kind of her motto in food and in life.
And in life and in business.
Yeah.
Girls can have it all, but they can't eat all of
they
it.
They can't. Women really are not allowed to have everything.
Yeah. But taste everything, eat nothing.
I don't think anyone should want everything, right? Don't you think it's like, that's a different conversation. There's so many, it's too many.
No, not everyone should be like a Veruca Salt type.
Like, you don't have any time for yourself or like to be a person.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I want, though. I want so much to distract me so I don't have to like sit with the voices in my own head because they're not good.
Yeah.
They're not good. God, I feel like we really like, have we exhausted you? I still cannot believe that you've done it.
You know, I'm a podcaster. I could talk. We could talk for 3 more hours. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. Well, this was so much. This was like truly. So I could ask you so many questions about like Lena Dunham. Like, what do you think about her living in Wales now? And like,
are you stoked for the new show with Meg Statler?
Yeah. I mean, I've never been more excited for a piece of media before. Meg Salter is one of my favorite
actors. This even trumps like the Rhode Island Housewives for you in terms of excitement.
But the Rhode Island Housewives, I'm like seeing their jobs. They're all like, I saw one that's a financial analyst. Like, I don't real housewives.
Come on.
All love. That's going to be boring. But I'm like, my whole family lives from Rhode Island. So I actually know so much about the culture. Not my whole, like my extended family. So that's why I'm excited. But as an actual show, I think Lena Dunham is a brilliant writer. And one of the things that I like all of her media, but what I connect with girls is because it's biographical and mm-hmm. too much, again, even if it's not Lena Dunham playing herself, it's still biographical. And she's so strong about writing her own experience.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what else she has to say.
Did she have another show with Jennifer Garner? Didn't she have like a
camping?
Yeah, I never watched that. I did watch her movie that she did before Girls. It was like Tiny Furniture.
New come out. There's Catherine Called Birdie.
Oh yeah, Catherine Called. I love that book.
I've seen that.
I heard the film was great. I didn't see it, but yeah, I heard it was fantastic.
Really fantastic. Yeah. And then Sharp Stick. And then she had Treasure has come out recently, which I don't think she wrote. But she wrote the first episode of Industry, and people discount that so quickly.
Oh, I know that. She wrote Industry? You're a huge fan, Michelle.
Oh, my God. I love that show. It's like, it's basically porn, but like British.
The pilot is damn good in that show, I'll tell you.
And yeah, no, that show's great. I feel like
that girl could write a pilot.
Yeah,
she like, let this girl write a pilot, and guess what? You're getting picked up. Get this girl on every pilot season, and you're getting 24 episodes from NBC, babe. No, not enough people watch Industry. I'll say that.
I didn't like the most recent season as much, honestly. It, like, lacked some...
I know. I need like, the guy to still be mean to her, and I don't know. It's a whole thing, but I do think it's a good show.
There's a guy? Spoilers.
Oh, they also did COVID.
There's a guy, and they're mean. Do you, like...
Oh, it's, yeah, like a COVID, I feel like, binge show. Know,
yeah, if you don't know a lot about finance, you might get kind of lost by, like...
I worked in finance for 12 years, and I know absolutely nothing. I'm still too scared to, like, move my Schwab account into, really? Like, any funds.
Well, last thing, we'll talk about The Pit.
Okay.
I have not seen The Pit.
My mom loves that show.
I thought it was just like ER, but with like swear words.
It's ER with personality, and it's
ER is a great show, though.
George Clooney was on that show.
It's his breakout role.
See, you were too young to watch it on prime time as an 8-year-old. You know, yeah.
I don't really remember must-see TV.
Well, Pit is an awesome show because it's so I've always wanted a show that's 1 hour at a time. But I care about doctors more than I care about, is it terrorists? Sorry.
He's stopping terrorism.
I know, whatever. But it's like, it's
one, I'm a patriot.
He's like in Paris.
What do you recommend people watch then? The Pit?
The Pit is fantastic. I think shows like Enlightenment, I think, is a fantastic show.
I haven't seen that.
It didn't get more credit than it did.
I love that show. So much better than White Lotus, although I love White Lotus too.
Yeah. But
he's just great.
I didn't love this last season of White Lotus, but I'm on the record.
I think we all are so. It's just because I actually think it's because of TikTok we don't like White Lotus. Because
I think you might be right. Because I'm like
picky now.
Yeah.
Am I supposed to like the theme song changed?
But men don't care about fiction anymore.
Yeah. Oh, no. Is it? Where was it?
Was this on Bethany's TikTok? Yeah. Don't care about fiction anymore.
But like 80% of readers for fiction books now are just women. Like men don't.
Really?
They only read like self-help books that are bad for you.
Well,
That's so sad.
They need
this
so
is
much
why
help.
The, we have this male loneliness epidemic too. It's men and Bethany are in
men
a loneliness
and Bethany,
epidemic.
Yeah. Oh. She's tapping into something.
Yeah,
I want her to have love.
Yeah, she'll find it. She was happiest, I think, in Miami or in Boca Raton in her life. I think that's when she was the happiest, when she was there in boarding school. That's where all her best friends were. Okay. Her lifelong friends. And I think she'll be happy.
I saw her. She was just at Carbone on the beach with Alex Earl. Remember, she was so mad at Alex Earl for not showing up on their date. Oh my God. You've got to watch this TikTok. I don't even think you know who Alex Earl is.
No, I do. Well, she's an influencer, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like. All right,
her dad is married to the woman who had an affair with Elliot Spitzer.
Oh my God.
Ashley, whatever. Yeah, that's her. That's her stepmom. That's Alex Earl's stepmom. Like she, like I saw her and I was like, oh my God, I remember like seeing her on like the Daily Mail. I know, whatever. I read the Daily Mail. Whatever.
That's okay. We all do.
But yes, but not anymore because guess what? It's a fucking paywall now. The Daily Mail. That paper used to be for the people.
Recession indicator is when tabloids are behind a paywall.
I have to pay $1.99 to read about what's really going on with Meghan Markle.
Oh, yeah. Final note. Just one more Bethany question. What do you think her fascination is with Meghan Markle? Is it, again, is it the Bates or is it just the...
It's crazy.
very
strong
interesting.
Opinions.
Right. She has slowed down a bit because I remember in June 2023, I think she was like really active about it. But ultimately, I think there's something about royals that are just always higher status than her.
Yeah.
Like, that's like anyone.
Martha Stewart.
You're right. And she has trouble with people being higher status with her.
Yes.
Because either like if they're not benefiting her, she feels like she can deal with Alex Earle, who's probably more high status than her right now, because Alex Earle like interacts with her and like looks up to her. And Alex Earle grew up with Bethany, so she shows her so much respect. But there's all these people, and you watch this, and like what I've seen from her on Housewives, like she, no one, it's hard for her to have someone in the room that is considered higher status than her. And yes, that's why she's so picky about the royals or Martha Stewart.
Or drones.
Kim Kardashian, drones, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Drones are, okay, they're literally above her.
I do have, this is my, what did you think of the whole drones thing?
That, I think she had a viral video and she said, how do I make a series out of this?
Okay. She talked about it for a long time. She even had like a code name for, she called them Dior bugs, I think, for a minute. And then I remember watching this one TikTok where she said, she's like, I just talked to my friend whose dad worked at the Pentagon, and he's saying we should all be really worried and like pack a bag and like get out. And so I think she's actually, she did it. She went to Miami.
A lie. Because
of course it was a lie, but it was also just like, she's like, I know people who, I know people who know people who have worked at the Pentagon. It's like, girl, Marvin Kulwinski also worked at the Pentagon. That's how she got to DC. So it doesn't mean that everybody at the Pentagon knows about these drones.
And it's a government. It was a government's drones, we found out.
See, and like, I didn't even know. Like,
they swept that under the carpet for some, like, it really, like, that it was announced and then no one cared anymore because it had been going on for so long, but they waited enough for it. Like,
yeah, I was waiting for Bethany to tell me what happened with these drones, and then she just moved away. So I guess I was meant to find out. It wasn't in the Daily Mail. Did you ever see the drones? Because you're in that part of the world.
I couldn't even see them on camera. Like, everyone tried to capture a video of them. It's like, I couldn't discern if it was a real drone or a fake drone that they were showing me, like, if it's their drone. And then when they showed the drone, it's like when they show a UFO video, and it's like something so far in the distance of the light, and it goes, that's a drone, and it's coming towards our house. It's like, how do I know that?
I know. It's like in those like Nessie photos. Remember? Do you remember Nessie?
Before your time.
Before your time, old boy.
Nessie.
Oh my God, this is. Want to do an oral exam?
Yeah.
It's a 60-second
essay on anything pop culture.
You start with, in this essay, I will prove.
I have one. I have one. I can start. Okay.
Okay, this ready? This is Michelle Baber's oral exam. Her time starts now.
In this essay, I will prove Mary-Kate Olsen, it's time to release the photos of your wedding, okay? I know that you're no longer married to a Sarkozy. You are free now, and you – okay, the world deserves to see these wedding pictures. I remember reading Page Six like 10 years ago, and they were talking about, and you didn't have flower arrangements at your wedding. You just had bowls of cigarettes, and I need to see what the bowls of cigarettes look like. I need to see the garden where this party was. I need to see every famous person that was chain smoking at your wedding. I want to see how chic it was when everybody was like smoking Marlboro Reds, which is what you used to smoke. I don't even know if you still smoke cigarettes, and it's okay if you don't, but it's how I know you best. And I need to see the pictures of you on your wedding day, the most special day of your life. Thank you. Amen.
And that's time. All right. Yeah. Release the picture. Where is she? Yeah, that was great. I really that did make me miss her.
She should be back on, like, we haven't seen her and Ashley in a minute, and we need all eyes on them. I feel like we're in a better place culturally, and just things are better in the world when we see the Olsons walking around in sunglasses too big, mm-hmm, and shirts too large, chain smoking and drinking like Starbucks cups this big.
And like, when's the last time you even saw a celebrity, even Elizabeth Olsen, in Elizabeth and James attire? Like, exactly. I'm kind of worried about that.
And I don't want to say that this is correlated, but I do know when I regularly saw pictures of Mary-Kate Olsen and Ashley smoking cigarettes, I was on a lower dosage of my antidepressant. And that's all I'll say.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Coincidence? No.
And now we said it.
The Row is absurdly valuable brand.
So expensive.
Oh, yeah. The Row is. Yeah.
I do. This one I'm talking about, out of touch. You know?
Yeah.
They made the most out of touch brand.
They did.
Yeah. And I like to think of the leather from the Row smells like cigarettes.
Ooh. Yeah.
At least they're bags. I love what they do to a Birkin.
Yeah.
They're so chic. Those two girls.
Okay. I'm going to do this is Lauren Davis's oral exam. My time starts now. Okay. In this essay, I will prove. So there's this new thing, and I feel like they need to get the news out more about stuff. I know that like sounds very generic, but I'm trying to do an umbrella topic over two things that have really bothered me. Number one, real IDs. Apparently you can't fly without a real ID starting May 7th. But like you didn't get a letter about it, we didn't get an email about it. But Michelle's telling me they're not going to let you on the plane because your driver's license is from like 2 years ago. So I'm like freaking out, but I'm like, they have to get the word out. Like, it's not fair to do this to us if they haven't contacted us.
Right. If all of our news is behind a paywall, then how are we supposed to know we're supposed to get new ID?
Right. Anyway, ended up not needing one. Brought my birth certificate just in case.
Yeah.
But there are no signs or anything, though. Well, they are like busy detaining, you know, like people, immigrants, like, yeah, like going through all their stuff. So I guess they're bigger fish to fry. Lots going on for TSA right now. But I feel the same way about those tampons that are like way too small. You got to, like, they're like tiny and you got to do them up and then click. You're supposed to click it, but there's no instructions on them. And it's just somehow everyone woke up one day and they knew they needed real ID and they knew how to do the click the small tampons. Literally. You know?
No, I do have a real ID, but I don't know how to work those tampons. But I'm getting closer to menopause, so I'm not going to learn. You'll never see me holding a Diva cup.
Yeah, just run the clock out, Michelle.
Yeah, I'm just running the clock out of my dusty old eggs. Get out of here. I'm no longer viable as a person.
Ready, Evan? Yes. All right, this is Evan Lazarus's oral exam. His time starts now.
Ramona Singer is autistic. And there's nothing wrong with being autistic. I went to autism camp. I don't have autism, but I know millions of people with autism. And I love some of my autistic friends. It's weird that they all danced around it while doing Roni and also subsequently in her everyday status updates. If she's posting on her story or the way she chooses to post on Instagram, where she just posted with someone who unalived a man.
Honey,
girl, read the room a little bit. I know it might be harder for you than the regular individual, but I'm sure you have people around you that can help point you in the right direction. I think if you just had that label diagnosis under your belt, your life would make a lot more sense and why you can't ever understand social patterns and
social cues, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to get her in occupational therapy. Literally. Therapy.
It just would help you with your everyday life.
10 seconds.
I love the autistic community. Autism should speak. Miranda should speak less so.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I can't believe this has never even occurred to me. I thought about Sutton from Beverly Hills potentially being.
Well, and then Tamara came out saying like she thought like she was like had a I went to therapy once and they said that I could be autistic. And then she got a lot of shit for that because people were like, you're not autistic. My daughter is autistic. And it's like she's nothing like Tamara Judge. If only she had that level of glamour. But
don't you think it's possible though with Ramona?
I'm thinking, especially like the way that she treats like staff and stuff. Like she's so like I think a lot of what she does comes off really rude, but I think that she just really doesn't understand.
Yeah.
And she needs to get into some ABA therapy. She needs to do some OT so they can teach her how to hold a pen and do all the things. Like may eye contact.
Yeah.
We love the autistic community. This is not speaking down to them. It's just like she needs
it's good to have that label because it really does like it does open your world and it does help you like and I mean this genuinely it helps you understand why your brain is the way that it is like I know my daughter's like she's 4 she's too young to really know about her diagnosis or understand it but having her have that label I know at some point in her life it's gonna make things make a lot more sense for her in therapy that she'll need when she's older like it'll be very different than girls so
yeah it kind of makes I'm like thinking back especially for Ramona when she masks her lasers but also when she masks and like when she apologizes when she just kind of like mirrors other people's facial activity too where she's like you know I'm like I can really see it I just want the personality like the psychological workups of every Bravo star ever that's like the dream
come on.
So, Evan, where can people find you? What do you got going on?
Fun, guys. I just want to thank you guys so much for having me on. Such a lovely time. This was just fun.
Oh my God, thank you.
My girls, come on.
Thank you so much for coming.
This was so much fun. This was so good. Thank you.
people find me, I'm on Instagram and TikTok as Elazie, E-L-A-Z-I-E on Instagram, and then two E's at the end for TikTok. And then listen to my podcast, Girls Rewatch. You can find us on Spotify or Apple or YouTube, wherever you feel best watching a podcast. We will be there. Lily, thank you guys
all
so
much. Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure chatting with you.